Are you a fan of the small ball?
I'm not as dramatic now as James.
Dramatic? You sound like my wife now.
Jealous of all the inside analysis and crack on the football pod? Well, we've got you covered with the Hurling Pod. Subscribe to the Hurling Pod feed on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
I'm delighted to say Hannah Tyrrell is with us this morning to look back on a pretty amazing weekend in the Women's National League. Hannah, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning. Yeah, all good. All good.
So nerves of steel there, standing over the last ball with full knowledge that this is the last kick of the game. A proper last kick of the game too, because time is up. What's going through your head when you're thinking, well, this is going to be either a moment of glory or, you know, kind of a lot riding on this?
I suppose I'm the free taker for the team, so I do know that, you know, dead ball situations are key for any team, and that one in particular was an important one to win the game. But I suppose I'm just going through the same motions and routine that I do for every free that I take. You know, was in the back of my mind that this could win the game, and I had missed the free before, so that there was that. But you know, luckily for me, it went over the bar, and it was a nice win to get.
So the whole stick to the process thing is true, but at the same time, the human mind is not really as easily fooled into, oh, I'm in the back garden here, I'm I'm a kid again, carefree in the back garden. You're not really. It's like up against the All-Ireland champions who stole your crown, and there's massive crowds, brilliant atmosphere. So what do you do to keep that at bay? So it's in the back of your mind, and how do you make it not be at the forefront of your mind screaming as you're standing over it?
Yeah, look, I don't have any, like, you know, visualizations and pretend that I'm in a back garden, to be honest. It's just, you know, clearing my head, a couple of deep breaths, and as I said, going through the motions, the routine, and making sure that I could get a good strike off. I do visualize it going over the bar, but that's, I suppose, you know, that's all free takers are under that kind of pressure anytime they step up, and it's whether you can deal with that or not. And thankfully on the day I was able to.
Pretty low key celebration immediately afterwards, like at least on the field. I presume you were pretty happy though, really.
Well, like, look, at the end of the day, we knew coming into this, both teams were already through to the semi-final. Obviously we knew it was going to be a big game, and you know, be great for the neutrals and everything else. And I hope it was a good game to watch. You know, it felt like a good game to play, even if it was nerve-wracking at times. But, yeah, well, look, it was nice to get the win. But we were definitely all about performance, particularly after we feel like we didn't perform in the All-Ireland final. You know, and to some extent we got that. We're still unhappy with a lot of things there. But that's what the National League is for. You know, we're playing a lot of young and experienced players, and they're getting a lot of valuable game time. And hopefully, you know, coming into championship, we're going to see Meath a good few times more this year. So it's the more we play them, the better it's going to be. And obviously, it's great for the game.
That was the last part for me on this. It is great for the game to have a rivalry where, you know, it is two traditional counties who have had great rivalries back over the decades. Now for this to be established where it's going to be nip and tuck every time you play them. And they have some absolutely sensational ballers when it comes down to it. So there is plenty for the neutral to get stuck into and plenty for the fans of both teams to get stuck into. And that's why there was 5,000 people at a league game yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the more teams we have that are playing at a high level and that can make games really exciting, the better it is for the game, the better it is for the development of ladies football. And it's more competitive for this year. I think for the first year in a good few years, we're going to actually have a Leinster Championship because we have a couple of teams in it. And it should be a really good couple of games of football where we get, you know, a nice start into Leinster Championship that sets us up for the All-Ireland Series. And, like, that's all we can ask for is playing really good competitive games, which makes us better as players, whether we win or learn, or win or lose.
I presume you're not thinking that in the middle of the game. I presume you'd just rather Meath were terrible in the middle of the game.
Oh, well, look, I like the challenge. I think it's much more satisfying to win a game that's quite tight and that where the opponents are excellent rather than routing a team by 40 or 50 points. Like, we learn nothing from that. We don't get a lot out of that. And, you know, it's never nice on other teams. So to actually have teams that are really competitive and making the whole game a really good showcase of football is great. Now, granted, I don't like it being as tight as it was the weekend, but you do like a good game where there is a good competitive edge.
It kind of feels like football is in a position at the moment where that is going to be the case in a lot of the deciding games. Obviously, yourselves and Cork and Mayo have had a great sort of rivalry over the last 10 to 15 years even. And now the emergence of Meath, the emergence of Armagh has really taken the sport to a different level. And as you say, I think everybody's kind of driving each other on.
Yeah, look, I think it's been the most competitive it's ever been. And, you know, Donegal are always up there. Galway the last few years had been... you know, they reached an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. And as you say, Cork are always there, thereabouts. Armagh have the Mackin sisters who have been playing very well. So I do think that ladies football is in a good place. It's extremely competitive. And come senior championship later on in the year, you know, there's going to be some cracking games played. You know, and hopefully we get good crowds with that good atmosphere. And the more televised and streamed that these fixtures are, the more people will realise the skill and talent that we have across ladies football.
The motion at Congress, the LGFA Congress was at the weekend. It was obviously passed previously at the GAA Congress. Camogie have said in the past that they're very much in favour of the merger. What's your take as a player? Will it have an impact? Is it something that is actually being spoken about at training at all? How much on your radar is this, and what do you think of what's going on at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's spoken at bits and pieces. You know, obviously they had the vote at the weekend and it passed. So you kind of, it is in the back of your mind and you're talking about it here and there, but like I think it's great for the game. You know, if you look at the ladies game over the last number of years, the LGFA have done great work to try and expand that. The numbers in at the All-Ireland final, obviously barring COVID, have been increasing exponentially, and they've put in so much work in that, and to have that integration, it just can help push on ladies football even more and bring a bit of parity and just make things a little bit easier for a lot of ladies teams across the country. And that's kind of all most people are asking for, is a little bit of parity and go from there.
The other thing I was just interested in your taking on, Thursday Anthony Eddy resigned. On Friday the report came out into the women's rugby team. You obviously stepped away before the end of the World Cup campaign was finished, and so you're kind of very familiar with the characters involved in the storylines, and I'm sure are still in touch with many of your former teammates. So the RFU apologised, essentially found an extra million a year to give to the women's game, are going to appoint somebody who's directly in charge of it, said it was nothing to do with Anthony Eddy, and didn't put David Nusafora forward as part of the group who were actually answering questions about it. It was the new chief executive who had been around. He'd been the COO for the entire time this whole thing happened, so I don't know how much of a new face or a new broom it really was, but certainly that's the impression that they're given. And several of your former teammates issued a statement saying that they were happy to move on and draw a line under it. What was your kind of, now with a little bit of distance from the whole thing, what was your read on that?
Yeah, look, I'm a long while out of it now, I suppose, or a year or so, it feels like a lifetime anyway, but I think it's a really positive step forward for the RFU. I think just even with the change of management and with Greg McWilliams coming in and a very much new look squad and with a lot of uncapped players coming in, I think it's a really good time to start building on that change. And I do think there was change needed within the RFU, and it's great to see those recommendations. It'll be interesting to see where that million goes and how that helps us, because you know, the Six Nations coming up has huge significance at the minute. We're the only team not in the World Cup or this summer or this autumn, I think it is. So, you know, there's a lot of significance on that to win the three home games. And it'll be interesting to see how kind of this is all laid out and planned out. But I do think there was a need for change within the RFU, and hopefully they can follow through with these recommendations and we see Irish rugby, or Irish women's rugby, get to a better place, because the last few years had been quite difficult, particularly results-wise in some cases. And so I fully agree, we need to draw a line in the sand there, start building towards next World Cup, and just, you know, hopefully see a huge development in players.
When you look back now, do you feel like the off-field stuff, which clearly hadn't been organised properly, you know, you think of the changing in the car park for the Inter-Pros, like that's kind of just emblematic of, it seems, the level of care and attention that the women's game was being given. Did any of that actually have a bearing in your decision to step away? Because you're obviously still playing at a very high level in another sport, and we're fairly able to seamlessly use that athleticism and skill set in women's Gaelic football. In retrospect, while there may have been other factors, was that actually there as well?
No, genuinely not. For me, like, obviously, physically, it wasn't a decision that my body was giving up on me that I needed to retire or anything like that. It was purely the amount of time and commitment that was needed to be able to continue in that program. Like, so I had always planned, regardless of where my body was at and how well I was playing, that I was going to retire after the 2021 World Cup, had we made it there. And when that got delayed out by a year, I just, you know, it was 18 months away at that point and we hadn't qualified, and trying to get time off work for numerous camps and upcoming Six Nations and tournaments and everything else was very, very stressful for me. You know, and outside of that, just commitments, you're in camp all weekend, every weekend, you know, and you miss out on a lot of things. And it just came a point where I couldn't do that for another 18 months. I had a lot of plans that I wanted to do, and I wouldn't be able to do that if I knew I was committed to a program for 18 months. And once I couldn't commit for, you know, 100% of the time, I knew it wasn't fair on the girls to go back to that squad, you know. And look, either way, little did I know that we wouldn't have qualified for the World Cup anyway, and that I would have just retired that August after that Italy tournament. But, you know, obviously I didn't know that at the time. So it was hard to watch as a player retired. But as I said, it's done and dusted. Just we move on, we build. Hopefully we get some good players in. We have a lot of really good young players there, and I do think there's opportunities there for us to really improve.
And that's a really key point, even just the practical nature of having to get time off work in order to be able to play for your country. That really feels like one of those things that does need to be ironed out over a period of time, whether it's a move towards professionalism down the line that will take this thing to the next level, because that is just a huge barrier. I mean, you can't just quit your job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it's a really tricky one, because I do know the players obviously love their jobs and they love playing rugby and they hate having to make decisions at times, like, but you know, particularly I was lucky. I'm from Dublin and travelling from Dublin to Dublin. And I still, you know, needed half days on Fridays to get to camp. So if you're thinking of girls that are coming up from the country, they need to come up on a Thursday night, if not a Friday morning, and taking the whole day off work, you know, and there's no time for rest and recovery because you're straight back into work Monday morning. And then obviously you come to match weekends and you're travelling and you need even more time off. And like, there's an 8-week period there for the Six Nations where nearly every week of that you need Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off work, and then the Monday morning you're going in absolutely shattered and you're not very productive anyway. So it is a tricky one, but the professionalism side thinks yes, it would be great to go down, but it's not as easy as it looks. You know, girls have decent jobs that are decent paid jobs, and you know, could we match that if we went professional, you know, to incentivize them to come in and join the professional setup?
Maybe they've managed to find £1 million when they needed to last week. You know, it's always interesting when these problems arise that you throw money at them and that might actually help make the problem go away. So, Hannah, listen, congratulations on the buzzer beater at the weekend. It was great scenes, and we'll talk to you again over the course of the season. But best of luck with everything. Cheers.
Thanks very much, guys. See ya.
That's Hannah Tyrrell there. We're letting her get back to work. If you want to get in touch this morning, 087 9180 180 is the WhatsApp number, or of course you can get in touch with us on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/offtheball. If you turn on subscriptions, if you turn on notifications and subscribe to our YouTube channel, then anytime we go live, we'll ping you a little note about that. We can park the rugby for now because it obviously had a good airing on Friday, but the merger is going to be something very interesting to see how it works out, because everybody says they want it to happen now, and now it just has to happen. That bit there where it's like, we all want this to happen, but what's next? That's a challenge.
This is the tricky bit coming up.
Well, maybe the connection with the rugby and the connection with the situation with hurling is money fixes everything. Like, here's our budget. This is what you're going to have. It's going to be an increase in your budget because we're going to all make more money from this organisation. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not enough. What do you need?
You'd like to think that will be... Like, I mean, is there going to be consulting done with the other sporting bodies in Ireland? Not so much in terms of getting advice, but getting experiences of some of the nightmares that have been encountered by either players in the football team or with the rugby team, and how to not let that thing happen when this organisation becomes one, when this potentially new organisation develops out of Croke Park over the next few years. So that probably wouldn't be a bad first step right now to try and actually have conversations with those sporting bodies as to how the new GAA doesn't immediately encounter some bad things that the other organisations have done over the last little while, because the opportunities here are massive. And there are, obviously, there have been some people who don't think this merger was the right idea, or have been cautious to go forward with this merger. So hearing those people out may actually be a good thing as well in the long run. And what is the real concern for
yeah, people? But the organisation has to be held to account, that it has to be genuinely equal. It can't just be, okay, we're bringing you in here because it's actually been too much, been too weird when our sponsors keep coming in and going, why don't you have, and it's too weird when the government keeps coming in, why aren't you hitting your targets? You're supposed to have a set number of males and females. It's not that hard, lads. And, well, actually, it is pretty hard because they're separate organisations, not good enough. So the organisation has to be held to account for making sure that it is genuinely at local level and at national level equal.
Yeah.
You know, when the good pitch is being kept for the under 14 lads, that has to be called out and reported on and gone, well, you're not getting your money this year then. Tough. Sorry, but that is not allowed.
And that's the sort of thing that you probably need to encounter pretty quickly, because, as I say, there are other sports in this country who have gone through a similar period. Obviously, when it comes to the GAA, it's just a far more vast organisation than the FAI or the IRFU is. Like when you think about all the clubs around the country who are suddenly going to be in a new place. I know, in fairness, clubs have probably been ahead of counties on this for a while. There's been a lot of clubs that have been under the one banner unofficially for a while now at this point, whereas some of the counties possibly wouldn't have been. So maybe there's actually a lot of things that have already been ironed out and a lot of experience that's already been gained on that front. But that is going to be the big thing. It's where are players at with regards to access to facilities at the end of, say, the first 2 or 3 years? Because that is the most obvious way that there's been a disconnection in the sport.
Yeah.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.